Qua mu bằng qua mu nhà cổ, nào u u u, nào u u u u, an tâm nề nề.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Karabuni Radio Harambe is back on the air. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, and for the past couple of weeks, I must admit, I have been working on some updates to our website, johnboyeveryone.com, and getting in some much-needed vacation. We do apologize for the delay, but that's not the only reason we haven't had an episode in a while. My esteemed colleague, Safari Mike, has been, well, in a word, missing. Likely off somewhere studying some exotic species, who knows where. He was last seen actually boarding a small, slightly dodgy-looking plane at an airfield just north of Lake Manyara in Tanzania. At least that's the report I got. He's not been returning our repeated attempts to make contact with him. That is until today, when I received, knock on my door, a Western Union telegram telling me to call him at this designated time. So, let me see if I can get him on the horn here. Mike.
Dave?
Mike, can you hear us?
Dave, can you hear me?
Amazingly clear, Mike.
Can you?
Yes. You sound great. You sound crystal clear. Where are you?
Well, first of all, I have my new iPhone. Second of all, I'm in the Ungarugaru crater, which is not far from the airfield that you so described.
And where have you been for the last 3 weeks?
Well, right now we're studying the Cory Bustard. Do you know what that is?
Did he once star in an 80s film with Molly Ringwald?
Kind of. It is a large bird that is, for the most part, a ground bird. But however, because it is, the males grow to be about 40 pounds, it is one of the largest animals that is capable of flight that is alive today.
Wow.
They are capable of flight, although they do spend about 75% of their time on the ground. So that's where I have been doing.
Describe this bird to me. Is it a bird of prey? It must be at that size.
It is, like I said, it's a long-legged ground bird. You know, it's kind of brown. It kind of blends into the area that it's the distribution of it. And it does eat animals, but it will also eat seeds, berries, flowers, and that kinds of things, along with lizards and small snakes, et cetera, et cetera.
And what is the name of it again?
Cory, K-O-R-I, Bustard, B-U-S-T-A-R-D.
Wow. That's a new one on me. And I've never heard of that one, but I'm going to look them up. Since we got Mike successfully via the iPhone, apparently, on today's show, we're going to discuss all the news from the Animal Kingdom, the rest of the Walt Disney World, and then in our final segment, it'll be time to do the must-dos. But first, before we begin anything, I just want a shameless plug here. We still have a few of our very well-received Warden Wilson Air Rangers t-shirts left. They are going very fast. What I would suggest you do is go to johnboeveryone.com, scroll down the page a bit. You'll see pictures of them there. They're $25 each. 100% of our profits will be donated equally to our conservation partners. All payments are made via PayPal only. Shipping to the continental U.S. is included in the $25. If you're outside the continental U.S., we can certainly make arrangements. It'll just change the price a little bit to cover for that. So go to our website, johnboeveryone.com. Check out the Warden Wilson Air Rangers t-shirts. And speaking of johnboeveryone.com, our first bit of news is we have, obviously, if you have looked at the site at all, done away with lots of stuff and kind of reworked what we've done here with the website. And I just want to mention it because some people had asked me about it and what the purpose was behind it and why we got rid of the old site, which was chock full of stuff. Thousands of photos, it seemed like, and all sorts of reviews and all these kind of things. it just became way too cumbersome, way too difficult for me to make changes on in a timely fashion. It also became costly. That's the biggest thing. We don't want any costs with what we do here, because any money we collect, we want to be able to donate it straight to our conservation partners and not ever have to cover any kind of bills for things like that. So we are going to, from this point forward, we have moved over to just the blog. JohnBoyEveryone.com takes you to the blog. The old Buana blog at blogspot.com will still take you to the same place. The only thing I wanted to point out is that the old email address, safariguide@JohnBoyEveryone.com, is no longer operative. Email us at JohnBoyEveryone@gmail.com. Once again, may not sound as schnazzy, but free sounds schnazzy to me, and that's what we wanted. So, just a few changes there. But, Mike, let's get started with the news of the Animal Kingdom. The first thing is there are many changes going on, including a few to the animal exhibits, and I just wanted to touch on these. We've reported, I believe the last time we talked, it's been so long, on the Cotton Top Tamarins change being made, and now it seems like the lowland gorillas are also getting upgrades, correct? And that may be in the process of going on right now.
Yeah, and it should be almost over from what I read. They're just doing some changes. First, they started off with the bachelor group side of the exhibit, and they should be now onto the family side of the exhibit. Just some, not only to the area of where the gorillas are, but also to the people area, were some handrails and things of that nature, just to update it, refurb it a little bit. Nothing major.
And am I missing any animals? Is there anybody else? Anything else getting changes to exhibits you can think of?
Well, just the Cotton Top Tamarins is all I can think of right now. And the lemurs and the tamarins will both be off exhibit for a little while they work on their exhibits. Although the lemur one is not going anywhere, as far as I know. But they are working on it. And they're also, the tamarins, I think I said it the last time, they're getting a brand new exhibit over by Creature Comforts. I don't know if I believe it's the ones, from what I understand, it's the ones that you've always seen right from at the front of the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
They're just going to get moved over. So.
And as I believe we mentioned last time, Discovery Island has a lot of work being done right now. And a lot in the future. They're doing some changes, like Mike just alluded to some of the Fast Pass Plus stuff, to the stores we talked about in the past. And some of these habitats are right in the way of this stuff. So they may have to move some of these animals off exhibit into their homes. They're sort of night barns, they're called, right. I guess. You know, they're night homes. And I got a great question from somebody about this, wondering, you know, they'd seen the pictures of the night barns as they go, you know, especially when you go down Rafiki's Planet Watch, out to Rafiki's Planet Watch, you can see them there. And the question was, well, they don't really look as nice as what they have on the park, certainly not as natural looking. And Mike, but I think that the lack of people staring at them probably still makes the night barns a much better experience, correct?
Well, you have to remember that the exhibits themselves, you know, the way they make them look, for much of it is really for the viewer as opposed to the animal. If you have a, let's say, a cage with a flat wooden you know, like shelf where they can go climb up, to an animal, theoretically, that's the same as if you have this cool looking fake tree,
right,
that you could climb up. So even though it kind of looks, you tell it, you know, very blah and, you know, utilitarian, it's still, for the animal, it's exceptional. So,
question well answered. Speaking of Discovery Island, there really is a lot of work being done all over the park, and and the island is, you know, getting its fair share. We've seen a lot of changes. I mentioned some Fast Pass Plus kiosk stuff being changed, but the big glaring one on the island is the giant crane in front of the Tree of Life. Cinderella's magical crane has now made her way from behind the castle to in front of the Tree of Life.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, It's Tough to Be a Bug is down for a refurb as well for a little while.
Yep.
And I guess they're using the opportunity to spruce up the Tree of Life. Now, I don't know what exactly they're doing, whether they're putting on some sort of, you know, I don't know, putting up some sort of improvement to the tree, maybe in advance of the Rivers of Light stuff, maybe. in advance for some additional Harambe Nights kind of stuff. Or, you know, maybe they'll bring that Harambe Nights back at some point in time. Or maybe they're trying to fix the branches that were, you know, they were concerned about falling down and why they built the nets. I doubt the latter. But or maybe it's just like new lights to put on the Tree of Life, or, you know, as it gets dark. Who knows?
It could be as simple as a coat of paint on some. I mean, each one of these leaves and things are painted. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be something as simple as that.
Right.
I haven't seen any pictures of actual work being done. I've only seen pictures of the crane there.
Correct.
So I guess all the work's being done at night, which leads me to believe that it's nothing really all that intense. Besides, like Mike said, maybe at the best hanging some lights. But my guess is it's probably just you know, rehab work, refurb work being done, which is always nice to see. Okay, well, that being said, another kind of little bit of information that's a week or so old, we're kind of catching up a little bit here, is that the extra magic hours at the Animal Kingdom have changed slightly. I believe they were kind of on Saturdays or moved around a bit. Now they're on Sunday mornings. This seems to be for the next few weeks for sure, and as well as the usual Wednesdays.
Right.
I mean, this doesn't mean much significant other than, you know, if you were used to this, if you weren't used to Sundays, get used to them, because they look like they're going to be that way for the time being. So,
Fair enough.
Nothing all that big there. Here's an interesting one. WDWMagic.com reported, got to be about a week and a half or so ago now, on Disney filing permits to begin work at the Animal Kingdom on viewing areas and other projects related to the Rivers of Light nighttime show. The show itself isn't expected to be ready until 2016, but apparently now we're starting to see just the beginnings of, you know, and these reports or these permits being filed seem to be constant on the internet. You get them all the time. I don't really take much interest in it because it doesn't take much for somebody to file a permit. So you don't know whether or not this work is actually going to get done the way the permit is filed. But if you're interested, there are some technical sort of buildings being constructed that are part of the Rivers of Light. And it seems like they are putting permits in for a very unspecified viewing area. I put that in quotes, in Asia and Dinoland.
Mm-hmm.
Not much new information there, though, Mike, right?
No, not really.
So, I mean, all we know is that some kind of area is being built. We know nothing else besides that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to the, you know, where they're putting the viewing areas. But we sort of already suspected they were going to have to do something like that anyway. So,
yeah, and it's exactly what everybody thought was going to be. It's a big sort of, it's the only sort of panoramic water view in the entire park, both of those sides. It's the appropriate place for them. Just be interesting to see how that ends up coming out. So.
And there's plenty of room in some of those spots too. So
yeah, and there's a lot of empty room or walkway room that they could certainly expand out into the water a little bit if they wanted to. There's a lot they can do. My hope only is, certainly in the Asia area, that they're careful about sight lines and making the walkways too big and all these kind of things. I mean, Dinoland, you can do anything over there. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a wide open space, so anything you can do over there is fine. So let's move on to the next one, which is the Harambe Nights apparently is now completely sold out. This gets reported on a lot of websites. Mike, I do find it kind of funny how some of the Disney news sites are a little obsessive compulsive with the reporting of the ticket availability to Harambe Nights. I mean,
well, it's not just Harambe Nights, but it's the Frozen thing that they're doing over.
Yeah.
So yeah, they do a report when I don't know how they figure it out, but I guess somebody just tips them off. But
my guess is they call and ask for tickets.
I guess they could. But what happened? Well, yeah, I guess they could.
You know, and that's because they only ever seem to know when certain sections are sold out.
Yeah.
So they must just be calling or and asking for tickets. But anyway, it appears that if you haven't gotten your tickets to Harambe Nights, you will not be attending this year, as they appear to be completely sold out. So
apparently.
I guess, as far as I know, I mean, just kind of thinking back real quick, Mike, I think they've all been sold out.
Yeah, everyone that's happened so far has sold out, and now all the remaining future ones are sold out. So yes, they've all sold out, which sort of leads you to believe that this obviously was a success to some degree.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure if they sold out, they were making money. So we'll see if they bring this back. I would suspect that they probably will.
Do you think, though, that it's going to be exclusively a busy time of the year type event and maybe not run the risk of bringing in one of these, you know, stars or TV people. I don't know if you can call some of them stars, but some of these TV personalities to do this. And, you know, in you wouldn't do this in September. Correct.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, I don't think so.
It would seem risky.
Yeah, but it might come back next summer. I agree with you.
Or Christmas. Some kind of version, something like that again. Christmas time. I don't know. Easter.
Maybe a Christmassy type of show. I don't know. I don't know. But it, obviously, I mean, without doubt, it was a success. So I'm sure they're going to do something like this again. They're just not going to let this one go.
Right. Right. No, no. We'll see it again.
Yeah, we'll see something along the lines of it. You know,
and
at
it'll
some
be
point.
It'll be more expensive. I mean, let's be honest, because they sold this one out, so there's no reason to believe they can't get a couple of 10-15% more, right?
Yeah,
than that. So it will be more expensive. So you, those of us who weren't able to go, I can guarantee you, we've missed our chance at the cheapest tickets ever to a Harambe Nights event.
Fair enough.
And finally, our last local news story. You know, this is the time of year, Mike, where there's not a lot of news. I mean, Disney doesn't do a lot of announcements and stuff in July. They don't need to drum up any kind of buzz for their parks because the parks are full. With this story, I don't really want to bash the Disney Parks blog. You can listen to a lot of people who do that. You know, they get their hits now and again from those of us in this business. But back on July 9th, again, this has been a couple of weeks now, but it's worth mentioning because it has to do with our neck of the woods, which is sort of trip planning when it comes to the Animal Kingdom. The famed Wildlife Wednesday posts, which take place on most Wednesdays, not all of them, posted something called Mythbusters, When's the Best Time to See Your Favorite Animals at Disney's Animal Kingdom? Now, this is a 3-paragraph article. Which basically doesn't really give you a lot of information other than to say that Disney has conducted what they call collected visibility data at several different times of the year and the day on almost all animals, including things like the giraffes, tigers, elephants, gorillas, and that their research team has compiled all this, and the conclusion they've arrived is, quote, time of day does not significantly change the probability of spotting animals. Translation, you can sleep in and still have a great animal-filled day.
You want my thoughts on this?
Sure. Go have at it.
As the famous Colonel Sherman T. Potter would say on MASH, horse hockey.
Right.
I don't buy it. First of all, they don't. What do they mean by animal or average visibility? I mean, to me, there's a big difference in seeing a tiger sleeping along the side of the exhibit, which you can see. I mean, it's visible.
Exactly.
As opposed to one walking around being active. There's a big, huge difference. The gorillas, the bachelor group, always acts kind of crazy. Right before they close the exhibit, they know it's time to go into the exhibit. So they're much more active. They really should calculate average activity for the animals, not average visibility. Just because you could see a lump of fur in the back corner of an exhibit is just simply not the same as seeing, you know, a few gorillas walking around and, you know, climbing trees and whatnot. So that's not really a fair analysis, and I just don't buy it. I mean, I if you're there first thing in the morning or towards the end of the day, you're much more likely to see activity and the animals. So I think it's, like I said, horse hockey.
Yeah, I mean, what Mike's referring to is the I'll read you this little short paragraph. They say, for this analysis, the team's observational data was recorded and used to calculate an average, quotes, average visibility, for each species at each time of day. These statistics were then compared to determine if there was, in fact, an increased chance of animal visibility at a certain time during the day. Analysis of data from the past several years all reveal the same findings, which was the conclusion that we just said. And as Mike just told you, they don't define what that means by average visibility. Mm-hmm. And they also have designed every one of these things to maximize visibility so that if you do come there in the middle of a hot August afternoon, you will see a lump of fur, because a lump of fur lying on the ground is better than nothing.
Right.
So that's how they designed the whole thing to work.
To their credit, I mean, they designed they designed excellent exhibits that where people can, the most amount of people can see the animals even when they're not active. But just because they're visible is not, I mean, we tell people to go there first thing in the morning when it's raining, that kind of stuff, because they're more active then.
Right.
Not because, you know, you could see them. You could see almost everything all the time, you know, with a few exceptions. You know, like the cheetahs are sometimes hard to find. The,
right.
the wallaby up in the oasis is sometimes hard to spot. But, right. I mean, other than that, for the most part, you at least see the clump of fur in the back.
Right, right.
So...
Right. But I think, Mike, the fear is, at least for us and for our listeners and for people who are fans of the park or have, especially for people who have yet to really experience the Animal Kingdom, to read something like this and to read the comments section, which the comments section in Disney Parks blog is the part of the blog that deserves the most criticism.
Because, of course.
Right. Because Mike and I both know that if the two of us, one of the two of us logged in there and said, this may be great that you can see a lump of fur lying on the ground, but if you listen to this, you're going to see a lump of fur lying on the ground and not a pacing back and forth, you're not going to see feeding, you're not going to see things that, you know, activity.
Right.
They would erase that.
Well, they don't erase it. They just don't approve it. It doesn't even get on, though. I've commented a couple of times. And it wasn't even, and I had a major rant on our show about the the Norway Pavilion thing,
right?
Where it was hardly scathing criticism. It was, I merely said in that particular instance, I don't think characters are really where belong in World Showcase. That should just be more for the countries. That was maybe perhaps even a direct quote, or certainly a very close paraphrasing. And that wasn't permitted on the blog post.
Right.
So,
right.
All you get on that is like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. You guys are so great. Or you get questions like, you know, where do you go to see the tiger or whatever? This is just a waste of your time to even bother reading it.
Right. But my fear is that people would read that and then not draw the conclusion that they're going to see the same kind of thing at noon that they're going to see at the first safari of the day or the last trip through Pangani Forest or, you know, or sun as the sun setting at the Maharaja Jungle Trek. It's just not the case.
Right.
And it's important that people understand that. If you want, if you're just looking to see the top of an animal, yes, but there is so much more to animal viewing at the Animal Kingdom than just what this is saying here.
Absolutely. And that's not to say that if you go through the Maharaja Jungle Trek at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a hot summer day, you don't have a chance of seeing the tigers. It's just that your chance of seeing the tigers walking around looking for the stuff that the keepers hid or waiting to go back inside and all that kind of stuff is much greater in the first thing in the morning or at the end of the day or in the rain, like I've said.
Yeah, I mean, the rain is the big one.
Right, that's the best. I mean, if you could catch a rainstorm in the middle of the afternoon, going to one of the trails, you'll do fine.
Yeah, very cool. So that I just wanted to mention that because I felt that was a little kind of misleading information from the parks blog. I'm sure that just pushed us a little bit further down in their Christmas card list for this year. But that's fine. That's all for the local news. And when we come back, we're going to hand it over to Safari Mike, who's going to bring us the world news. So stay tuned. Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida is the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com. Jen can do everything you need done in order to book your next Walt Disney World vacation and have the time of your life. She is an expert in everything Disney and will remove all the stress of booking your trip. And she is as committed to conservation as we are. So every vacation you book, or even every quote you request, means Jen and Destinations in Florida will make a donation to the Jumbo Everyone conservation effort. You can contact Jen directly by emailing her at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com or by calling her directly at 443-424-0181. You can also head over to JomboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon to get your vacation started. Seriously, what can be better than booking a Disney World vacation while helping to save wildlife? And welcome back to Radio Harambe. Amazingly, somewhere in Tanzania, Mike was able to stay in touch with the Walt Disney World news apparatus, and he has the world news for us. Mike, what is going on in the world of Walt Disney World?
Dave, well, first of all, Anna and Elsa have a long reach. They even reach to the Ngorongoro crater. So for world news today, we're going to go through A Quiet Morocco and To the Boardwalk. But first, let's talk about Anna and Elsa, who are, of course, the subject of a meet and greet at the Magic Kingdom that sees lines in excess of 300 minutes on occasion. Well, apparently Disney started today a new way to deal with the lines. You still have the FastPass Pluses, which, by the way, we have. And for once they fill the standby line to the sign or whatever, they're not going to let people spill out into the pathways anymore. They're going to give them a ticket, which will give them a window to come back in about a half hour window.
Wait a minute.
So, yes.
Disney is going to print.
Yes.
Small pieces of paper that are going to have times with which somebody can come back.
They'll never work, but yes.
Hand the ticket to an operator who will then decide whether or not you can the time matches and the dates.
They're testing.
That sounds like a great idea.
They're testing this in sort of an effort to help with crowd control and other things. because from what I understand and what I've been reading, they only do about 9 FastPass Pluses per hour. There's only about 80 of these tickets permissible. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people disappointed.
Really?
I don't know.
Why
I mean,
is that? Why so few?
Because it's a meet and greet. It takes a while to move these people through. They got to take the pictures. The photo pass plus people got to get in. You know, mom and dad want to get their picture with Anna and Elsa, and then the kids by themselves, and then mom and dad and the kids, and then little Jane with her picture. She wants to have her own picture, and then little Bobby doesn't want to have a picture, so you got to talk him into a picture. Maybe it could take a while.
Sounds like you've done this a few times.
Well, I don't have a Bob or a Jane, but no, my kids are actually pretty good about doing this kind of thing. So, well, we're going to find out pretty soon, Dave. Pretty soon.
All right. Well, I hope this timed pass thing works. Maybe we can expand this to the rest of the park.
Oh, yeah, maybe they could even, like, hand out tickets for things like Test Track and
Soarin'.
Things of that nature. Soarin'. Yeah,
great.
The tickets themselves will have a half-hour window as opposed to the FastPass Plus typical hour window, right. But still.
Well, the half-hour, that explains the 9 a little bit better, because I was thinking an hour. So
right.
9 and an hour seemed exceedingly small. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if you want to get people on standby too, you know, I think
can't have too many of them.
Better than that, but you can't have too many. You're right.
Yeah,
80 guests. There's 80 guests who line up at the gift shop to buy Anna and Elsa toys, isn't there?
Ugh, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay.
Next one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's go to Epcot. The apparently, if you're a pass holder, you can now obtain a 30% discount at Spiced Road Table. I have never heard of a discount specific to just one restaurant for pass holders. What this tells me is that Spiced Road Table is an epic fail and that nobody is going to this restaurant. And that's what you hear. You hear that it's essentially empty. So they're trying to drum up business, but this restaurant is a failure.
So this is not a Tables in Wonderland thing. This is not DVC member. This is any annual pass holder gets a 30% discount, because that's a deep discount for Disney.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
It's a
absolutely
deep discount for Disney. They don't do discounts like that. Yeah, it must be a disaster.
Yeah, it's a disaster. Speaking of disasters, let's go to
before we go.
Yeah.
Do you think people predicted it would be a disaster? I mean, is this a surprise to the foodie? Because I'm not really dialed into the Disney foodie community, there is a big community, and of whom you are dialed into.
I can tell you, I think when the place was being built, it was felt that it was going to be a rock star of the Epcot. You know, it's going to be on the water. Hmm. It's going to serve tapas. It's go, you know, prime illuminations viewing. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to have that Mediterranean look to it, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. People were drooling at the prospects, and then it opened. People saw the menu, the overpriced, limited tapas, and then people went in and ate there and thought it was meh, whatever, not, you know, mediocre at best. Compared to some of the other places where you can eat at Epcot that are above mediocre, I think, like. You know, well, even just right across the way, I like Restaurant Marrakesh, for example. I think they didn't realize that people were going to be a little turned off by the fact that it is in the Morocco section of the park. So I think a large percentage of the guests at Disney are just not even going to look to see what's there. It's in Morocco. We're not eating in Morocco. Let's go find the chicken finger stand or whatever. So I think it suffers from a lot of things. And the death knell of it was when the foodie community, because even places like Sanaa and other places that are a little off the beaten path for the typical theme park who wants a funnel cake and a hamburger, you know, they're doing quite well because it serves good food. Spice Road Table does not serve good food, from what I understand. I've never eaten there, so I don't want to say one way or the other my thoughts are, but I have heard that it is not very good at all. And like we've talked about when it first opened, is that, you know, we go to tapas places around here or, you know, in the Northeast or whatever, where there'd be 40, 50, 60 items on a tapas menu.
Sure.
This one had like 12, which, I mean, at least has to have over 20. For it to be a true tapas place. And of course, like everything else, Disney was overpriced, but that's, you know, that's to be expected.
Right, right.
I just a lot of things not going for it. Sooner or later, this is a failure, and sooner or later they're going to change it. I'm not sure to what, but I think they're going to have to change it.
Yeah, I what they're trying to do here, obviously, is lure in the annual pass holders, amongst whom are the people who tweet and blog and Facebook everything, and try to create the buzz. The problem is a lot of these people have already attended this restaurant, and that's why sometimes you look at the things that the decisions Disney makes and it makes you scratch your head. I mean, they must know that the majority of annual pass holders, well, not the majority, but a lot of annual pass holders have already seen this and already have passed judgment on it. And they're not going to go back, 30% or not. They're not going to go back unless you rewrite the menu, unless you change the way you're doing things.
Right. They're going to have to change it. Absolutely. Yeah. Because the only thing it's got going for it, I'm sorry, Dave. The only thing it's got going for it is it's a pretty place. I mean, if you see pictures of it, it's nice inside. It's well decorated. I mean, if you delivered at least a decent menu,
right,
it would probably do pretty well. I mean, it's still going to suffer from the fact that it's in Morocco, and people, you know, as I said, there's a large group of people who are like, no, I'm not eating in Morocco. I don't care. I'm not even going to look. But, you know, if it served decent food or good food, I think it would be fine. But it just doesn't.
Yeah, you got a big hill to climb there.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the next one?
Well, I was going to continue to talk about food, as we discussed in the previous episode. Kazina, the Cat Cora restaurant on the boardwalk, is closing down in September. Well, Disney has announced its replacement. It's a Trattoria Al Farino, which essentially, if you look at the menu and stuff, looks like it's a Via Napoli clone. Even though Disney has 5 Italian restaurants within walking distance of Kazina's, they are building a sixth it serves, you know, wood-grilled pizzas and pastas. And I think this is terrible, but, you know. I was talking about before, the people who are only going to eat chicken fingers and pasta, they'll flock to this place as long as it's halfway decent. If it's like Via Napoli, which gets very good reviews and whatnot, it'll probably do well. But it's disappointing for me.
I understand where you're coming from there. And I think that's the you know, the challenge that all, you know, that Disney faces. You've you know, you've hit it directly there, that they have a lot of people who just don't have the, you know, a different kind of tastes in food and stuff.
I think the
point you made there that is really fascinating is how many other Italian restaurants and good ones, you know, are within walking distance of it. Listen,
yeah.
I mean, if you haven't, I know, I don't think Mike agrees with me on this, but in my opinion, as a person who has dined in many Disney restaurants, only missing a handful, and that's because the ones I haven't been to are exceedingly expensive. But if you have ever been to Il Molino, which is in the Dolphin or the Swan, Mike?
I believe it's the Dolphin. I believe it's the Swan.
In the Swan,
I think.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the best restaurants on property. It is a fantastic Italian place. There is absolutely no need to build another one because it is empty half the time. At least it's not hard to get a table. So between the ones you have in Epcot that are in walking distance and that one right there, which is in very much in walking distance, yeah, they could have gone a little out of the box or at least tried something else.
Well, you don't even have to go really out of the box.
No, also, you don't. You're right. You don't.
You don't forget you have Mama Frickin' Roma Melrose at Hollywood Studios, which is god-awful, but it's right there. I mean, there's still plenty of cuisines that are not crazy. I mean, even, you know, not... I mean, why not a barbecue place?
Exactly. There really is no nice barbecue place. I was just going to say that.
There's no fondue place. I mean, I think that would do really well. There's no southern food type of place, you know, with like chicken and waffles and stuff like that. Or even Caribbean. No Spanish place either. I mean, these are like regular places that there is none in Disney, never mind, you know, one far away.
Right.
As opposed to Italian, where there's literally five within walking distance.
Right.
And this looks, I mean, just judging by the menu, it looks like a complete clone of Via Napoli, essentially.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's pizzas and pastas. Well, they haven't released a menu. They've just released some of the items that you can expect. And it's, you know, wood-fired pizzas and pastas. I mean, you know.
Mike, have they talked about whether or not it's completely Disney-operated, or have they not mentioned whether or not it's a third party? Or
they have not mentioned a third party, so I would assume it's Disney-operated. But they,
There's no... It's not one of the Landry restaurants or something.
I don't believe so. No. Okay.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I don't like on spec the fact that we don't need another Italian place there, and it should have been something else. But who knows? Maybe they'll make the best Italian place on property. So who knows?
Yeah, but see, I have the issue, and as you do, when I'm not in Tanzania, I'm in my home in the northeast of this country, and I can spit and hit five good Italian restaurant places.
All better than what's in Italian
places. All better and significantly cheaper.
Right.
So when I'm in Disney, I really don't want to get a good slice of pizza. I can get that anywhere around here. It's not my thing. Yeah. I want to go to Kona and Sanaa and, you know, places like that. So
God, a great southern barbecue would have been perfect, like a Kansas City barbecue or something like that.
Yeah. Or fondue. I mean, there's no... I mean, people like that, I think. I mean, cheese and chocolate, how could you go wrong?
Even if they wanted to stay with the boardwalk type thing, or, you know, I mean, we're not seafood fans, but what about a great lobster place or something like that?
Well, they have the flying fish right there.
I know they do, and that, you know,
and you also have the Cape May right across the way too. So,
not a big fan of that one. But.
Well, I don't eat seafood, so I could really care less. But I mean, they have both of those things right there.
Yeah,
really.
Okay. Anyway, I think you're 100% right about it. They should have thought out of the box here, but that's just not what they do.
No, it's not what they do at all.
So, it is what it is. What's next?
Disney has announced a few of the events coming to the August 23rd, 2014 Villains Unleashed party at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which I will be in Disney for and will stay clear away from this. I have no interest in it. And some of the events are essentially, there's a Hades Hangout, which is basically a DJ and some dancing with Hades and the people from that. Yeah, it's a dance party, essentially. And then there's a slew of various meet and greets. Streets of America is going to have some of the rarer villains, like, you know, the bowler hat guy from Meet the Robinsons and people from Lilo and Stitch or whatever. The Dark Side area over by Star Tours, you'll be able to meet Darth Vader, Darth Maul, Boba Fett, and all that kind of stuff. Oogie Boogie is going to have, like, a show at the Theater of the Stars on Sunset Boulevard. Phantasmic's going to have... A pre-show with some villainous people involved in the pre-show, and then there's going to have a fireworks show at night. For the price that they're charged of $67, which is about what they charge for like Mickey's Not So Scary and things like that, there really is not that much. It's a meet and greets and a firework show. It's a, and one dance party. I mean, you know, the Halloween party, for example, has a new parade that's amazing. It has the trails where you can go trick-or-treating. And it has several different shows that are different. It has, of course, Hallowishes and the Celebrate the Magic before that that's different. So you're not getting nearly – I mean, all this really is a chance for people to go and meet, you know, Shan Yu from Mulan. It does not appeal to me at all, but I'm sure it'll sell out. So
yeah, I mean, it's a neat idea that seems to be poorly executed or poorly planned. This is the question I have whenever I read one of these things. Is there somewhere in the world of Disney fans, of which there are millions, mm-hmm. a large swath of them who are die-hard dance party fans? Because it just seems to be one of these friggin' dance parties and everything they do, and they're dreadful.
I don't think there's anybody who's like a big dance party. I think what it is it gives them a way to – they don't have to do anything out of the box. They don't have to come up with a new, you know, plot and lines for a actual stage show. All they have to do is bust out a couple of characters that you never see, throw a DJ up there to play some, you know, I'm sure they'll play like Monster Mash or whatever, and dance around. It's just a way for them to have a cheap, easy, event to put on their calendar. Hey, this is what we're going to do. So,
well, it's funny, Mike, because you started reading this, you started talking about the story, and I had no idea what it was when you first said it. I'm like, what is he talking about? And then I remembered you actually sent this to me. Because as we'll reveal in our next segment, we're going to be down in Disney during this.
Yeah.
And it was so uninteresting when you sent it to me. I totally even forgot that we had that conversation, that we had this talk about, would you want to do it? Look at it, you know, and you didn't really want to do it. But to your credit, you didn't make that obvious when you first put it out there. You said, you know what, if you're interested, maybe we can go. You know, and I totally forgot about it. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's much.
I'll be in Epcot.
Yeah, I won't be there. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
That same night, Dave, August 22nd to 23rd, there is the fantasy football, I guess, weekend at ESPN and at the Boardwalk. And I know you like to play this game. So
I do.
We're going to play Guess That Price. Because I know you also have no idea what I'm talking about or looked at the price. So
Not at all. I've never heard this.
Sure. There is basically it's your chance to meet many of the superstars of ESPN's fantasy football group, like people like Trey Wingo, Matthew Berry, Mark Schlereth, people like that. You know, the
Schlereth, I know,
the Tom Cruises and Dustin Hoffmans of the fantasy football
world. A-listers, huh?
Yes,
A-listers.
Exactly. Okay. And there's a tailgate party where Trey Wingo is going to host it. You'll be able to sort of mix and mingle with, you know, those aforementioned people.
Cool.
They'll have a chili bowl where some of the chefs from around Disney World are going to come over and try to make chili so that you can taste it and eat it and tell you, I guess, see who's best or whatever. The next morning, there's going to be a character breakfast at the ESPN Zone where they'll have, you know, Mickey and Minnie and all that dressed in various sporting outfits. I'm not sure if it's going to be football exclusive. They said sporting about outfits, but whatever.
Right.
Then there'll be a live broadcast later on of the Fantasy Football Now, which is, of course, a ESPN show. And then you'll be able to participate, this is on August 23rd, in a draft amongst all the people there, where they will, you know, keep tally all year of your football team, and you know, you can win a trophy if you win and all that kind of stuff. Guess what, Dave? That costs per person.
Okay, I have some questions.
Oh boy.
Do you have to pay for the chili?
No. Well, it's all inclusive.
Okay, so the breakfast too.
The breakfast is inclusive too, although I saw nothing about booze.
So we have a breakfast, we have chili. We get to see somebody whose name is Wingo. And
Chris Mortensen's there.
Okay, well, I know him. I know Chris Mortensen. I know Schlereth. I probably would know Trey Wingo too if I saw his face. Because
yeah,
I'm poo-pooing it, but I really do play fantasy football. And even though I don't watch ESPN, I probably just know these people's names.
These are people who are on ESPN all the time. They're on the wrong time.
I'm sure I'll know their faces. I just don't recognize their names. I'll go with Harambe Knight's price, $130.
$350 per person.
Are you joking?
It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
I totally wasn't expecting you to say it. I thought you were going to say like $200. I thought you were going to give me like Wild Africa Trek, like $180, $200, $300.
$350.
Okay.
You know what's really strange is that Disney also did. Going off of the path a little bit here, Disney has done a special Frozen package for their Frozen event at Hollywood Studios,
right?
Where you get a good spot for the parade, you get a nice seats for the sing along show,
right.
You get the dessert party with alcohol. You know, probably much like the Epcot one, where it's very limited. You know, it's like a wine and, you know, whatever, cheap wine from, you know, state of Washington or whatever, as well as desserts, and all of the, you get all of that, and it's Frozen, which is, of course, you could, you know,
print put, money,
you know. Yeah, they only charge like $60 for that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I don't know why, but and they're all sold out.
Blowing that price,
every event, every one of those tickets has sold out for the rest of the summer.
That's incredible.
I thought for sure they'd charge over three figures for that one at least, but nope.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad at all.
I still can't get over it. $350. I mean, basically what you just described to me was the ESPN weekends at in fact, with fewer things to do at
True, but less people. I mean, it's more intimate. It's more intimate, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all it is.
At $350 the price, you might be one of two people there.
I mean, that's like, right. I mean, that's like a, you know, that's a fantasy camp price. You should be spending a week with these people at that price. Yeah. Anyway, that's amazing. I'm you know what? I'm going to go and look in on that when we're there and see if they're, who's there.
Yeah, we'll be there for that too. Yeah. No, thanks.
I'm going to go take a look. I'm just going to go look and see how many people are there. Maybe take a photo. Do we have anything else?
We do. While we were gone,
while you were gone.
Well, you know, you took a couple of vacations there, my friend.
I did.
There was a release from a Norwegian television news show about the Norway Pavilion. And I know you saw this, Dave.
I did. It exploded the Twitters, let's be honest.
It did, a little while ago, but it did explode the Twitter. Basically, this program was essentially saying, apparently Disney is going to change the Norway Pavilion to Frozen. What do you, the people of Norway, aren't you upset by this? It's essentially the tact, the angle that of the news show. And they actually had, you know, cameras down in the Norwegian pavilion and stuff like that.
Right.
There was some misinformation. For example, they indicated that the movie at the end of the ride is now a Frozen thing, which is not true. They also indicated that, you know, one of the part of the store has been removed for a meet and greet, which was true and is now no longer true.
Okay.
But there are some interesting things in terms of, like, they're repainting things to look more like Frozen, and that sooner – it basically says, fait accompli, that Maelstrom will be a Frozen attraction sometime, you know, starting this fall, is what they said. They said it's going to go down in October to January, and when it comes back up, it'll be a Frozen attraction, which, of course, Disney hasn't said boo about.
Right.
Didn't
they also sort of indicate that – all of this will be the case unless the Norwegian government or tourist board ponies up some cash.
Yeah, that's what they said. I mean, they were talking about, you know, you had people that they were talking to was, you know, Norway is one of the richest countries in the world. And, you know, we're not going to spend a dime on this. But, you know, other countries are, you know, spending the money to refurb and keep their pavilion up. Isn't this terrible kind of thing?
Right.
They talked to somebody from the tourist board or whatever it's called over there. They're basically who basically poo-pooed it and said, well, we're looking at it. We'll let you know.
Right.
That's essentially what he said. What's fascinating to me, and I've talked about this on Twitter too, is that maybe Norway, the tourism board, wants it changed to a Frozen. From everything I have heard ever since Frozen came out, tourism in Norway has gone up, especially from the United States. Disney has added, for example, several Disney, you know, Adventures by Disney events that go to Norway. They sell out in seconds. So maybe the Norwegian government is embracing Frozen. Hey, you know, we're the land of Anna and Elsa. Come visit. I don't know. I hope not, but, you know, it seems to be.
I'm gonna admit something that I've admitted before, but I think it bears importance here. I have never seen what's it called? Frozen?
Yeah.
I've never seen the film. I'm probably the last Disney fan on Earth who hasn't.
probably.
but I am under the impression that the film does not, in fact, take place in Norway.
No, it does not.
So
it takes place in a fictitious land.
So why would Norway benefit from this movie?
Because it's obviously based upon Scandinavia. Clearly, it is based upon Scandinavia. First of all, Disney promotes it. Their trips to, for example, to Norway on the Adventures by Disney as, a Frozen related. Just like when Brave came out, they did some Scottish trips, but of course, Brave is nowhere near Frozen. So,
but Brave actually took place in Scotland.
Correct. correct. I don't know what to tell you, Dave. It does not take place. It's in a place called Arendelle, which is based on Frozen. There's clearly things that they take from Frozen. For example, reindeer that are native to Frozen. There's fjords. The cities themselves have. There's rosemaling, which is a kind of design that's typical from Norway in terms of some stitchery and stuff like that. The costumes are clearly based upon Norwegian designs and things like that. So it's clearly based upon Norway and perhaps
Norwegian
influenced. Other parts. Correct.
Okay.
That must be it. I mean, but they never say the word Norway in the movie Frozen.
Huh.
There's no Oslo. There's no Bergen. There's no anything like that. There's fjords. There's ice. There's trolls.
Okay.
Which are all
Norse, Scandinavian.
Trolls or sure. Scandinavian, Norwegian,
Viking
myth.
Related. And that
kind of. Well, they're no Vikings, though, to be honest.
Yeah,
but in the movie.
Right.
But,
oh, there's no. I mean,
that would have been.
There's no Norwegians either. So.
No, there are none.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that could be going on. One is they could that the idea of, Disney saying, seizing on the rumors coming out that this could happen and using that as leverage to sort of stiff arm the Norwegian powers that be to make an investment into changing Norway. That's definitely a possibility. I can certainly see a little business hardball being played there. So that wouldn't surprise me. I'm to the point now where I am going to continue my boycott of Frozen. I will not spend a dime to see it. Or
why?
Because if this film, in fact, does bring the end of the Norwegian pavilion, I will blame it entirely. And I am not going to be party to that. So I have no interest in seeing it. I shouldn't say that. I will see it. I won't cough over money to see it.
Okay,
so
wait for it comes
buy
on the Disney
DVD.
Channel or whatever.
Right. I won't buy a DVD. I'll maybe borrow it from you.
Yeah, I have it.
That's it. The potential here of Disney seizing on this one film because it is this one amazing hit that seems to be crossing the generations like the old films used to do. And not doing what Walt did, which was then turn that into more films that do the same thing but with different stories and different characters, instead just beating us over the head with this one film, is and it's a sign of what's wrong. Let's put it that way.
I'm just hopeful. I know that's wrong, but I'm just hopeful that they don't screw around with Maelstrom and they just put it in Hollywood Studios where they're doing stuff for it now anyway,
which would be fine.
I mean, there's so much waste of space in Hollywood Studios. Blow up Leitz Motors Action and build a dark ride and a stage show there, or a restaurant. I mean, it's plenty of room. I don't see why they have to mess around with Norway. But
yeah,
anyway,
I'm gonna. But having said all the things I said, all the snarky stuff I said about Frozen, there, I am going to maintain that no pavilion in World Showcase will be added or dramatically changed to the degree which this rumor says this would be changed.
Right.
Those things will not happen at World Showcase anytime soon because it does fine the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense in making any real changes. I mean, people still line up for the Maelstrom ride. There's no reason to change it. It's not a problem. You know, and I just don't see that getting changed anytime soon because they have so many issues going on so many other places in the park. The World Showcase is the one place they can just kind of leave alone and let it be what it is.
They you know? Could, but we discussed this in another podcast. Epcot suffers from a lack of things to do for families and pretty much everybody. I mean, there's the World Showcase. There's two major attractions, and they have to do the stupid tier system because there's really not a third and a fourth to sort of funnel people away from the ungodly lines at Test Track and Soarin'. Those are huge lines, not because Test Track and Soarin' are some phenomenal rides. They're great rides, don't get me wrong, but they're not the greatest things ever.
Right.
But it's just because those are clearly the two best things to do, and if they added a third and a fourth major attraction, Mission Space did not turn out to be it, for example.
Right.
It would ease some of the pressure on Soarin' and some of the other things. And maybe we're thinking, you know, if we build an Anna and Elsa boat ride in Norway, that'll, you know, ease some of the pressure on Soarin' and those great lines. And instead of having two lines that are 90 minutes each and nothing really else having a line, we'll have three lines that are 60 minutes each or whatever.
Right. And the other problem is, though, Mike, that they're going to end up building a C-ticket quality ride because they think as long as they plaster Anna and Elsa, it's going to be an A-ticket event. And it will be for the short term. And then years from now, we're going to be stuck with another C-ticket dark ride that nobody really goes to anymore. And that's just the issue.
Which you're already seeing with The Little Mermaid.
Right. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
There's really no real line for it anymore.
And the Nemo change at in Future World. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think they ever expected that to be really. I mean, maybe they did, but
no, they certainly did. Look at the amount of technology they put into that, and what a big deal they made out of that.
That's true. I mean, look at the line that they made.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly expected it.
It takes you 20 minutes to go through the queue just to get to the
exactly.
All right. I suppose that is true. I do want to say one other thing though, Dave, about something else completely. And we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I did want to say a thank you to the Diz Podcast Awards.
Oh, yes.
The Dizzies, as they were going. By the time this episode comes out, I presume that the winners will be announced. But we were fortunate enough to have three nominations, one being Best Host, which is you. I don't know how you got that one. With Lou Mangiello and Matt Hochberg. It seems odd.
Those are the three?
It's you, Lou Mangiello, and Matt Hochberg.
Well, I should beat the heck out of those two.
Both of them have many more listeners than we do.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that. Oddly enough, from what I understand, it was a panel of people who chose the nominees here.
Very cool.
Who are doing this. Cool. So 20-something nominees or whatever, people on the panel. But whatever.
Wow.
I got Best Co-host, which, that for whatever that's worth. And then Best introduction of a podcast, which is obviously our music and the sound of the plane going by.
Right.
Considering I have absolutely nothing to do with that, I can feel free to say that should clearly win. But since I had nothing to do with the production of that, I don't feel bad about pimping it.
Well, I honestly, Mike was telling you, I've been away, and I'm not much of a Twitter person. He knows that. Everybody knows that. I get on there every once in a while. But I did see these nominees come out. Unfortunately, I didn't read much into it. I just was flattered by the idea of anybody thinking we deserve any kind of recognition whatsoever. But, you know, those names that you're naming there that we're nominated with are really big names in the podcasting field and people who were kind of inspirations for us to do this. So, that is even more flattering. And whoever thought we should be mentioned in that, you know...
Thank you very much.
From the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. That's fantastic. Wow. Cool. Well, let's end it on that, and then we will come back to do the must-dos. Coming back on Radio Harambe in just a second.
I'm Explorer Mickey, and like most kids, I love zebras, and some of the coolest are the Grevy Zebra. But if things don't change soon, there won't be any left in the wild. The Grevy Zebra Trust is doing everything they can to help keep them from extinction. But there are only a couple of thousand left, so we have to work fast. Go to their website, GrevyZebraTrust.org, and donate anything you can. Even a small donation will help keep the Grevy Zebra alive for us kids and the future generations to enjoy.
Welcome back to Radio Harambe, and that's right, it is time to do the must-dos, and that's more than just a reference to the esteemed Stacey Aswad. It's also a the way Mike and I are going to discuss our upcoming trip to Walt Disney World, which is only a few weeks away, Mike.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do is rather than go through kind of like what we plan to do, because honestly, I don't plan anything. Mike's a planner. I don't really like to plan much of anything. So we thought the best way to do it was to channel the spirit of Stacey and do our seven must-dos for our trip coming up. And this is, Mike, specific, right, to this trip, not just seven must-dos in general. This is what our seven for this trip coming up is.
Correct. Maybe this will be a running thing. Every time we go to down to Disney, we'll do a must-dos beforehand. But yes.
So that's the theme with which we're going here.
Okay.
This is not entirely Animal Kingdom related, but I'm sure you'll see it is pretty close. So I will begin with the obvious. And that is, and I'm sure this was on your list, and you're going to hate me for saying it. That's why I'm the host. I get to jump in first. The expanded Harambe and seeing the Festival of the Lion King at the new theater is obviously the big must-do for any Animal Kingdom fan who hasn't been there since that opened.
This is probably the biggest must-do for me for this trip.
Yeah.
Yes, I had it on my list, and yes, if I went first, I was going to say it because I knew you were going to say it too. But clearly, I mean, we've been talking about it on the show for months on end.
Ages.
Finally opened. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Looks great. I can't wait to see it. So I'm with you completely. This was on my list. So now I have to find something else.
I got my camera ready. There's going to be more pictures of New Harambe than you could possibly imagine at the end of August. So just be ready, blog readers. So what's your first one?
I'll stick to the new stuff as well. I have to see it. We've been talking about this one for a while too, although this is not Animal Kingdom related. I want to see the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. Certainly the big thing that has opened since the last time we were there, other than certainly it's bigger than even the new Harambe. I mean, this has garnered so much attention. And I just got to see it for myself to see if it lives up to the hype or lives up to the not so much hype that you keep hearing. It's not that big of a deal. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. So I have it as a Fast Pass Plus twice. So I will see it.
Mike, as we've been saying, we've been kind of, at least I have been kind of not dialed in for the last few weeks. How are the standby lines there?
Not too bad. They're actually not too bad. You'll get over 60 minutes and stuff, but it's not Anna and Elsa FastPass bad.
It's not the gate buster that people hoped it would be?
No, it's not. It's not. Okay. It's not the, it's not even getting lines like Soarin typically would.
That was the one that was coming to my head, Soarin.
Yeah, but that's just because there's so many other things to do with the Magic Kingdom as opposed to what we were just talking about at the last segment, that there's not so much at Epcot.
Sure, but if it were the Anna and Elsa mine train, it would probably be 3-hour waits.
In the short term.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was asking.
It is breaking down quite a bit, too. I've noticed that.
Oh, really?
Seven Dwarves. Well, not as much as the Universal's newest attraction that apparently breaks down every 20 seconds or so. But this is, I have noticed that people complaining that it's broken down. And I just saw today that there were people working on it. So it's not smooth sailing quite yet.
I mean, it's definitely a must-do. I mean, it's an e-ticket attraction, regardless of what you think of the video. And I don't really care about videos on YouTube. That's not going to change me from going to see an e-ticket. So, I'm going to put my I'm going to keep my reservation for that one as well. My second one, I'm not going to leave the Animal Kingdom just yet. And this is one that I some of these are things I have to do every single trip I go down. They won't change. So the first one is obviously Kilimanjaro Safaris. I cannot visit Walt Disney World without going on the safari. It is the one attraction at Disney World that if I didn't go on it in a trip, I'd feel like I failed in my trip. It is the only one. Because it is, to me, the only one that truly is a different experience every time. There are, and that's not to say that I don't love the classic attractions, though. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the classic attractions are no longer classic. But I, you know, Mike will tell you, I'm as big a fan of pirates as anybody is, you know, so many of them. And I want to go see them too. But if I didn't get on pirates because it was closed when I was down there, it wouldn't kill me. But if I walked into Disney and didn't know that Kilimanjaro Safari were closed and I saw it closed for refurbishment, I'd be crushed. Like, I would demand my money back and fly back to New Jersey. Maybe not that bad, but I would be crushed. And it is the only one. So that always has to go in a list like this, I would say.
Okay. I'll run with that sort of theme and go to my second one. And I'm going to say the Haunted Mansion. Okay. This is an attraction. Kilimanjaro Safaris is my favorite attraction in Disney World. I've said it many, many times. If I had to pick a number two, it would probably be the Mansion. And it's just really the quintessential Disney dark ride. I think it does everything that it needs to do the best. I like it better than Pirates. I like it better than some of the other dark rides, Peter Pan's Flight, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It's just like the, to me, it's the ride, the Disney ride. When I think of what a Disney ride should be, it's the Haunted Mansion. And, you know, one of these days, I think, Dave, we should do a show where we just pick our top 10 attractions. We have to put them in order 1 through 10.
Okay.
So if I did, I think I would put the Haunted Mansion number 2.
Okay. Well, we could do that. That's gonna take me going through lots of stuff. But okay, we can do that. Yeah. I mean, Mike, who could disagree with you? The Haunted Mansion is a classic. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of the classics have been altered a bit to the point where they may not be as classic as they once were. I think the Haunted Mansion went through some changes, and the changes are a little, in my opinion, a little out of place, you know, in what the old one are, but not glaringly so. I mean, they fit well, but maybe the technology makes it look like there's something obviously built recently next to a lot of things that weren't.
I guess, but
but that's the only complaint I have, you know, and it's not a complaint. I love it. I mean, it's the Haunted Mansion. I'm going on it. And the other thing I was thinking of as you were talking about this, Mike, is, you know, you and I are both attendees of Walt Disney World for 40 years now going on. And and I wonder what it says that you're a Haunted Mansion guy and I'm a Pirates guy. I wonder what that. I wonder if that's a category of Disney fans, Pirates or Haunted Mansion, and what that says about those who fall on either side of those of that divide.
Well, I mean, I gotta tell you, Pirates of the Caribbean is a classic. I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. I do prefer Haunted Mansion, though. Yeah. I mean, if I could only go on one ride from the Magic Kingdom, it would probably be the Haunted Mansion.
So that's always on your must-do list. So that's good enough. Let's see. Another one that's always on my must-do list is if I'm staying on property, I have to go to the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I don't want to do a trip where I don't go there, even if I'm not mm-hmm. staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And this has been probably, certainly since they built Kidani Village, I've been like this. Now, when they first did the Jumbo House, when it was the only Animal Kingdom Lodge, I went there once or twice. But didn't go there all the time because it was a little out of the way. But now that as a DVC member, you know, as an out of the way, I mean difficult to get to if you don't have a car, mm-hmm. which is true for every non-resort loop, you know, resort, non-monorail loop resort. But now that they built Kidani Village and there is, you know, a nice amount of DVC member, you know, accommodations, we seem to stay there all the time. So mm-hmm. I'll clarify that by saying there has to be a day when I'm there staying at Kidani Village where I tour Kidani and go over to the Jumbo House and tour the whole thing. I just like to shop in the shops in both of those places. I like to look at the artwork. Certainly love the animal stuff. I like to. Last time we took our swimsuits and went swimming over at the Jumbo House pool, which was because I think they had ours closed, so they sent you over there. But we had a. You know, I love doing that. It's a must do for me.
Yes, if we weren't staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, it would clearly be on my list too to get over there. I mean, we're staying there, so it's. Not really a forefront of my mind. I'll be there for 5 nights or whatever it is. Right. So I'll be enjoying it. And we have reservations for the other one. So we'll be there. But definitely, if I was staying, you know, 5 days at Old Key West or whatever, I would make sure I got a Boma breakfast or a Sanaa lunch in there or both. Sure. And, you know, make sure I spent some time at both of those resorts, at least a little bit. I would at least have to eat something there and walk around and enjoy it. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Having said that, I can't envision a time where I'm going to go to Disney in the near future that I'm not staying there at least a little bit. I suppose it's possible.
Yeah, no, it's not possible for me anymore.
I suppose it's within the realm of possibility.
Nah.
But I would not do it willingly. And if I had to.
Willingly.
If I had to, I would definitely spend quality time at the lodge. I agree with you. Absolutely.
Cool. What's your next one?
I'm going to stick to the lodge. And actually, I was going to put like snacks on one big list, but I've decided to change it. And I'm just going to say the bread service. I couldn't go to Disney without at least having one night the bread service at the at Sanaa. I have to have the bread service. It wouldn't be a trip to Disney without it. And the last couple of times we've been down there, we have had late flights. We've got in at, like, sort of at night. And we beelined for it. Both times we barely made it under the gun at Sanaa. The first thing we did, and it was terrific. The first thing we did that night was check in, go to Sanaa, have the, you know, a mojito or whatever and some bread service before going to bed and get ready for our first day. I legitimately couldn't go to Disney without stopping at Sanaa, and even just at night, and just having some of the bread service with a drink. I just love that restaurant. I love that bar. And I love the bread service.
Let me tell you a funny story about that. Your son, who is a youngin', made a long car drive today. And I said to him that this was what we were going to do on the show. And, and he said, well, Dad's going to say bread service at Sanaa is his first thing that he said. So I guess that's no secret, Mike.
It's no secret to people who listen to this show either.
No, it's not.
When we had Sarah on, we talked to Ed Nauseam about the bread service.
It's not a secret at all. So I'll do one that's not a secret, and that is, if we're talking food, I must have the African spice cake. In fact, I'm so addicted to the stuff, which has only been there, how many trips?
Two, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been there long. But the last time I was there, it was almost as if I walked out of – if I walked out of the Animal Kingdom, even with like 5 days left in the trip, and I didn't get the African spice cake, I kind of think to myself, ooh, I forgot to go get the spice cake. And one time I actually turned around from the Oasis, walked all the way back and got one to bring back to the hotel.
Yeah. I do like the spice cake. Yeah.
I'm addicted to it. I just love this stuff.
There's a couple of snacks, and I was going to include this in my list, but I'll just say it right here. There's a couple of snacks that I feel that way about. The spice cake is up there, but I absolutely adore the peanut butter cookies over at Big Top Treats and Storybook Circus.
Right, they're
phenomenal, and I love the new ice cream place in France. I can't imagine going to Disney without doing those three snacks either, and a jalapeno cheese stuffed pretzel, but they're in various places as well, like the Animal Kingdom and other. So, you know, there's a few of these kind of snack items. I chose bread service just because it's – I don't even know if you would consider that a snack. It kind of is. But it's sort of the premier one for me.
Yeah.
But there are a few that are like that for me.
The France ice cream place had, I believe, a white chocolate coconut that was just unbelievably good. But the African spice cake is like the only one to me that I consider like a unique thing that I certainly can't find that anywhere else. So I really die for that. What's next on yours? Or did you just do it with your various snacks?
No, I did not.
So you're sneaking in an eighth.
I did sneak one in. How many more do we have?
I have four to go.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Yes, you're right. You're right. So let's talk about alcohol, since we were just talking about food. I do enjoy a adult beverage on occasion, and I couldn't go to Disney without walking around World Showcase at night and enjoying a few of my favorites. That includes Viking Coffee in Norway. I have to stop at La Cava del Tequila, and if I had to pick one of them, I don't think I could go to Disney without going into Cava, you know, Cava for at least one margarita
right.
or tequila flight. I couldn't imagine going to Disney without stopping in Japan either for a shot of sake in that little bar in the back of the department store. And I've never had it, but I'm going to try Tipsy Ducks in Love, which I'm very much looking forward to trying in China. So there are a few drinks. I'm going to clump them into one that I enjoy walking around World Showcase. And so that's my next one.
So your must-do is getting sloshed at the World Showcase.
I didn't say getting sloshed. I had a few adult beverages. They don't all necessarily have to be in one evening either. I usually spend a few nights walking around a World Showcase. And this year I'll be doing the tequila at La Cava del Tequila at the Epcot wind down thing. So, we'll see. I'll be at Epcot a few times.
Before I go on, I lied. There's three left. I counted incorrectly there.
I have three. Yeah,
I have three left, and so do I. Yeah. So while Mike's talking about the Rose and Crown, let's go back to a must-do, or I just gave it away. While Mike's talking about the World Showcase, let's go to a must-do, another one of these things that I must do regardless of what trip it's at, and that is at least one time I have to kind of bed in and establish myself a beachhead in front of the bar at the Rose and Crown, preferably in the afternoon. I don't want to give that information away because I don't want the place to get crowded. But it is when a bartender friend of ours, Carl, is there. Carl is a terrific guy, a guy who's been behind that bar for ages, who has amazing stories to tell about Epcot, about Florida, anything you could imagine. He is the quintessential bartender. The drinks are pricey. I understand it. The atmosphere makes up for it. It is a must do. I must make. And now think about this. This is usually a 3 or 4 hour event right in the middle of the afternoon. So usually when other family members or other people I'm with want to go back to the hotel and kind of unwind and relax, I usually take one of those days and plant myself over at the bar of the Rose and Crown. I cannot go on a trip to Walt Disney World without doing that. And this is more than a drink. This is more than an hour. This is I'm there from, after lunch to the time dinner's about to start. So I literally do spend the better part of a day, one day a trip, standing at the bar at the Rose and Crown. There's a terrific collection of regulars there. I just have a great time doing it. And it's one of my favorite things to do. One of my real vices of Disney World. I just can't get past that. So
really, you waste a whole day at the Rosencrantz?
And I'll say this, Mike. If you don't agree, if you've gone to the Rosencrantz and you don't think this way, then you haven't gone there at the right time, with the right bartender, with the right group of people. So email me, and I'll tell you when that is. Because it is a fabulous bar.
It's a good bar.
It's better than that. Because it's one of those places where the guys behind the bar, led by Carl, they create an atmosphere that people think a tavern should be, which is there are these people from all over the world, all over the country, and you're just talking. It's, a lot of times at bars, especially here in the Northeast, you kind of sit next to each other and just kind of stare up at the television, which is what everybody does now, right? We stare up at whatever game is on. We don't speak to each other.
No, we don't. You're wrong about that. We all stare at our smartphones.
We stare at something, but that doesn't happen at the Rose and Crown. You're talking to perfect strangers from halfway across the world, and that, it's a great, great atmosphere and a great time. So it's worth a try. That's all I'll say if you're like me, a lover of a good pub. So what's your next one, Mike?
Winged Encounters over at the Animal Kingdom. I have to see this.
Yes.
It's kind of flown under the radar, no pun intended. Hasn't gotten a lot of buzz about it, but I'm interested to see it. I will definitely make sure that I will check that out at some point in time, or maybe more than several times. So that would be my next one. It just looks interesting to me, so I can't wait to see it.
It looks great, and it looks very simple. And you said it's flying under the radar, so to speak. I hate to use the pun twice, but deservedly so. It's not a big investment here. There's no great ride or anything like that. It's just a cool new experience. I would definitely have put that on my list if you didn't. So I'll go with that.
Yeah, it's a good one. I can't wait.
I wanted to do one on the Magic Kingdom But I kind of changed it a little bit because, you know, despite all the snarkiness of things I say about other parks, I am a a Disney historian. I love reading about Walt. I know everything there is to know about the development of Disneyland and all these kind of things. And for that reason in mind, to me, this trip coming up in particular, I simply have to get myself on the monorail and I have to get to the Polynesian, because the Polynesian is a shell of what it once was now, but it's still there. It hasn't been turned into something else, which it's going to be.
Yeah, it's too late for that, Dave. You're too late for that.
I know.
They already got the walls up. The lobby's a mess.
It's too late. But the lounge is still there.
Okay.
Kona Cafe is still exactly the same.
Yeah, the Kona Cafe is not going anywhere. Neither is Ohana's.
Yeah, well, we hope.
Fair enough.
All I'm saying, we hope. it's the kind of the last time I could see this before it doesn't even look like it should. And I think that even though the monorail is a little bit further down the line, I think the clock might be ticking on that as well. So I am at least in its current form.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had that big issue a couple of weeks ago, or maybe not even that long, where broke and they had to evacuate people from the from the rooftop of it.
I mean, eventually Disney's going to have to. Yeah, I mean, eventually it looks like Disney's going to have to either scrap it, which seems like an enormous task.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to completely change the car system and what's on top of that track,
which is also an enormous task.
It's also an enormous task, but it might be slightly cheaper than trying to pull down all that concrete.
I don't know either,
but it is an enormous task either way. So I just think the clock is ticking, and I want to see those two kind of classic things before they're just a memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you have two more.
I do.
Okay. Go ahead.
One thing I always do for a Disney trip is I always make sure I do something different that I've never done before. Usually that takes the form of a restaurant. Sometimes that takes the form of where we're staying or some sort of experience. And we're doing a few of those this time. I am going to eat dinner for the first time ever at Be Our Guest in Magic Kingdom. I got obscure reservations if I'm having dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it is. And we're also staying at Port Orleans French Quarter for the first time. I've never stayed at a Port Orleans resort, so I'm very, very much looking forward to that. But one thing I always like to do is do something different. Last trip, we stayed at Wilderness Lodge, for example. And this one we're doing Be Our Guest, Port Orleans. So I always try to do something. We're also doing the Sunrise Safari. So I always try to do something a little different every trip. And that's always a must-do for me. New restaurant, new place to stay, new experience like the Sunrise Safari or the Epcot Wind Down Party. I'm doing a few of those this year, so and that's my next one.
I think, Mike, that for anybody who has gone to Disney before, on multiple occasions, this is the best advice I'd give everybody. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Do something different. If you haven't seen, attraction X or been in a certain restaurant, even if it may not sound like your cup of tea or you love everything that's on your list, try something else. There's so much here. Don't just do don't take the easy route. Take a day, do something different. It's great advice. I mean, it really is. And you got a lot this time around. That's unusual to have that many.
Yeah, I usually, we tend to, and not to get too in-depth about this, we tend to, at least when we schedule our dinners, I try to do at least a couple of new things. This year, Be Our Guest, we've never been before. And we're also doing, we actually got, thanks to Jen, our travel partner, actually, got us the Garden Grill for one night. I've done that, but I haven't done it since like 1998. So it's been quite a long time since I've done that.
Very cool.
So she stayed on top of it and after a couple of weeks was able to snag me a reservation for the four of us. So, things like that we like to do.
Now, the must-dos, obviously, I attempt, I wanted to pull in the different parks, but there's really nothing in Hollywood Studios, so my...
I got that covered, don't worry.
Excellent. So for my seventh, I'm going to go back to the Animal Kingdom, and I'll say that I, and this is something that's true for me every time again, is I must sit and see a full set of the Buridika band from the time they walk out onto the stage until the time they're done. I usually do this more than once. And maybe not more than once in the same day. A lot of times I'll just kind of stay and listen to a couple of songs if I hear them playing something I really like, because I know a lot of their tunes. I'll come and watch them. But I always make one note when I get my times guide in the morning. I'm gonna go to one of these before I leave from start to finish. And that's always on my list. So
I am definitely doing that as well. I had it on my list and I crossed that out. But I want to sit there and sing a set of Buridika. Now that I have the CD, I will sing along with them.
That's true.
Sugar cane mojito from the Dawa bar.
Wow, that sounds like an afternoon in heaven right there.
Or at least 30 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, if I get planted at the Dawa bar, I usually see more than one set. So one of the Tam Tams in between and, the whole thing. So.
Yep.
So you are on to your final.
I'm on to my final, Dave. And for the last one, when we were making our plans, I basically had a couple hours at the Hollywood Studios in the week or so that we're going to be there. And then Disney announced the Anna and Elsa hoopla that's going on at Hollywood Studios. That includes a fireworks show and sing-along party. And, of course, the eyes of my 10-year-old daughter lit up. And all of a sudden, I found myself doubling my time at the Hollywood Studios at the very least. So I am going hip deep into the Anna and Elsa pool.
All right.
Where we have reservations for Fast Pass pluses for the meet and greet over at the Magic Kingdom, but we're also going to do a morning at Hollywood Studios where we can enjoy the parade, try to get into the sing-along show, and then at night enjoy the fireworks set to Frozen music. We are going, and I'm dragging you with me, we are going fast. We're going, deep into the Anna and Elsa hoopla, as they say. I can't wait to put on Twitter a picture of you meeting Anna and Elsa at the Magic Kingdom and all that.
Well, you are obviously going to be smuggling blunt objects into the parks, because that's not going to happen.
And you're figure skating, by the way.
This is not going to happen.
Rink at Hollywood Studios.
First of all, I'm only going to be down there for a grand total of 4 days. You're there for a longer time than me. I'm never going to step foot in the Hollywood Studios in 4 days. I mean, I'm not going to take a bus or train or drive over there.
You'd have to.
No way. First of all, I am a dedicated blogger and podcast host for the Animal Kingdom. So there's going to be one day dedicated to me delivering the best images I could possibly deliver to our readers of JohnBoEveryone.com. So I'm going to be planted in the park probably for an entire open to close, just walking around taking photographs.
But you have Fast Pass pluses to meet Anna and Elsa at the Magic Kingdom. You're with us that night.
I do have Fast Pass pluses to that.
Yes, you do.
Well, I also have the power to change that.
You don't.
Yes, not allowed. I do. So
you can't change those. So, God forbid I lose them. You know how I had such a nightmare scenario where they screwed up my Magic Plus again for us. Because of course, our parents are going with us, and my father and I have the same name, and that just befuddles Disney to no end. They can't figure that out. So in one reservation, I was in two of the rooms. My father didn't have any of the rooms. And another one, I was with, my father was with, my family in our room. It was just like a nightmare scenario. And I kept saying to them, this has to be fixed. But I'm telling you right now, you are not screwing up my Anna and Elsa Fast Pass.
Or I will kill you.
Or there's going to be a problem. There's going to be an issue. And every time I did it, because I had to call them like three separate times, every time they said, no, don't worry, Mr. McBride, we're going to put a note here in the file that they are not to change, they're not to touch it.
And you included me in this?
Yeah, well, you were there that day with us.
Why on God's green earth would you think I would want a fast pass to meet two characters? I wouldn't even, if these two people sat down next to me in the studio here, Mike, I wouldn't know who they were.
The comedy of it, Dave. Don't you enjoy the Twitter comedy of you?
No, because I don't read Twitter. Why would I enjoy that comedy?
All right, I'll switch you over to, Goofy's Barnstormer or something.
That's fine. That's fine. I was thinking you were making me go to the Hollywood studios for this.
No, I know you don't have. You don't want to go there. We are going a day.
The time is
to
just
the Hollywood
short.
Studios.
So, yeah.
One day you're there. We're going to the Hollywood studios in the morning for stuff. But I mean, whatever. You don't have to.
Yeah, time is just short for me, and you guys are there much longer, so you're able to do a lot more. So this must-do list is actually big for me because it gives me a chance to kind of zero in on what I really have time to do because I only have a few days here. So, but I think we've made it to the end.
Okay.
That's our must-do list. Thank you all for listening to Radio Harambe. Before I let you go, let me remind you to check out our store, Zazzle.com/Jombo, everyone. There we have some great designs, including our Not a Half Day Park t-shirt. I already told you about the Warden Wilson's Air Rangers t-shirt. That is a very limited run, not available on the Zazzle.com, will not be made available on the Zazzle.com. It is a limited run right now. It is going to go away into the vault. Maybe reopen sometime later on down the road. But what I have now to sell is what we have. So if you're interested in one of those, go to the blog. And you'll scroll down. You'll see the pictures of them and all the information you need on there as well. Also, I want to mention, we always mention these, the gorgeous animal-inspired, safari-inspired bracelets. What are the name of the bracelets, Mike? Do you remember?
What do we call them? I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, she's going to kill us because I can't think of the name and I don't have it in front of me. But Brooke made these beautiful bracelets. When you go to JomboEveryone.com, you'll see the link to those as well. I am actually in the process of...
Jombo bracelets?
No. It was a different name. It was an African name and I can't think of what it is. I had it written down somewhere, but I don't have it. She's going to kill us. But go to the blog. You'll see it. I'm actually in the process of building a store page on JomboEveryone.com where all this stuff is going to be kind of in one spot so you can get all that done. Those bracelets are $18. They're gorgeous. You can direct message her or email her. All that information's on the blog. We ask you, obviously, to visit the site while you're there. Go to the conservation page. You'll see all the stuff where all the people we're trying to help who are on the ground helping to save wildlife. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Radio Harambe for what that's worth. Mike is spending the better part of his life on Twitter at Jombo Everyone. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, all that kind of stuff. You can find the links at JomboEveryone.com. I will also give you a little hint, folks. Check the website. There is a pretty good contest coming up this week. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes. Yep. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Rate us. Leave us a review as well. Helps to get the word out. Once again, thank you to the folks who have honored us with their podcast awards, the Dizzy's nominations. Whether we win or not, really just being mentioned in something like this is a thrill for the both of us. So thank you again. For Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwa Harini, go well, and thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. Kwa